Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel, the text is Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, I will go to the right, or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Like children sometimes do for their parents, the servants of Abraham and Lot caused trouble for them. Each group was concerned for their own master's success, but Abraham and Lot's flocks had grown so large that the competition and quarreling grew to the point that they could no longer work together in peace nor stay on their side of the pasture. If you ever put more than one child in the back of a car, you know what I'm talking about. Abraham is a humble and generous man, so he gives first choice to Lot. "Look around. Choose where you want to go. I will get out of your way." Lot looks. The Jordan Valley is lush. He chooses it, the greener pasture. But as we know, things are not always as they appear. His choice would cause that righteous man much grief. Abraham goes the other way. He is again given the promise of the Lord. "Your seed will be as the dust of the earth." And that promise goes beyond the limits of human nature, especially that of a childless couple. It's a big promise. The Lord, though, can count the dust as easily as he can count hairs on heads. And he will know all the children of Abraham in all times and places. And so the Lord gives Abram the command to walk the bounds of the land that he is given. And in doing so, as others have noted, Abram will trace the sign of the cross upon it as he walks its breadth and its length. And Abraham, being the Lord of that land, doesn't actually possess any of it. He can see it, he can walk its bounds, but he doesn't own a bit of it. He will live as a stranger and pilgrim in the land that the Lord has given to him and his descendants. Eventually, he moves his tent to the Oaks of Mamre. There he pitches it, builds an altar to the Lord among those heathen people there. For Mamre was an Amorite, but he treated Abraham and his household hospitably. The scriptures say by faith, Abram went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Jesus, the Son of Man, the seed of Abraham, would be like his ancient father. He would have no place to lay his head. He too would be known by a tree, the tree of Calvary, and that tree would be his altar lifted up in the midst of the heathen and the unbeliever. And his blood, liberally shed upon the dust of the earth, is that which forgives all your sin. You, whose sweat waters the earth as you work, are made children by faith in his atoning sacrifice and resurrection. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise, dust of the earth. And so you, the baptized, receive the sign of the cross traced upon your forehead and your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You are of the faith, and you are blessed along with believing Abraham. You are heirs of the kingdom, sons of the living God. The Lord has marked you as his own, and you live under him in his kingdom. You children of Abraham, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now fill the earth. This is to the Lord's glory. It certainly is nothing that we've done. No synodical resolution ever accompanied that. It is the Lord's work. He has done it. He brings good things from you. The world is made sweet and verdant by the works of the faithful. Granted, though, we are like Abraham, who could not see. Even though that he was the Lord of the land, he could not see anything that he was given. We do not often see what the Lord has done through us. But often we act like Abraham and Lot's servants, don't we? Quarreling and rivalry, jealousies and all those kinds of things. Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive our sins. And yet we are not removed from the household of faith. We find our rest under the tree of Jerusalem. We are strangers and pilgrims in a world of heathens and idolaters. The tree of the cross is our marker, the sign of our life and our home. It is there we find our altar. There we receive our life, for it held the salvation of the whole world. The oath that God swore to our father Abraham was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. And abiding in him, we baptized ones are delivered from our enemies in the hand of all who hate us. And here, sheltered under its shade, we are seated at the table in the place the Lord has given to us. And so our eyes are lifted up to our Lord Jesus and the sweet and blessed country, our true home. We look to the city built without hands, which has the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. God is her designer and builder. And we, who are sons of Abraham, friends of God, eternally safe from the fear of our enemies, receive all these blessings as our inheritance. Blessings of the God who saved us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be his holy name. Amen.